Here's Jack Severson, your host.
Thank you, Bob, and my guest today is the usual, John Van Skelvin. We're going to talk about memories of the past. What's it going to be today, John?
I wish I knew. They called this morning and said that I was due to talk about memories of the past, and I said, you better tell Doug he better have something to talk about, because I don't know what to talk about.
Well, Doug can't be here.
Doug isn't here.
And he asked me to take the program, and I said, what will John talk about? He said, don't worry, John will take care of it. So,
well, let's see what we can do. Here, I looked through my desk, and I found a booklet, Trolley Tours. This must have been printed somewhere around early 1900, because
it's falling apart.
Yes, it's falling apart. You bet your life it is. I got some more of them down there that are old enough to fall.
These
apart.
These are the trolley tours. Are these the same kind of trolleys that like streetcars?
No, that's what they were.
They were regular.
Yeah, here's a picture on the back of
the
Muskegon, mm-hmm. Lake Michigan.
Were they about the same size as the city streetcars?
Oh, this is bigger.
They're bigger.
This was
but they're
bigger.
The same principle.
Mm-hmm, same principle. Mm-hmm. It's much bigger. This booklet was put out by the railroads, perhaps the Grand Haven, Grand Rapids, and Muskegon Railroad, which was the interurban here. But just looking through it, I ran across some of their advertising, and I don't want to read this thing because I'm a poor reader when it comes to reading it for public. But here is an ideal trip for a day's outing. Listen to this. This is quite something. It doesn't tell how much the trip is, but from some of the other stories in here or advertising, it must have been cheap, because one of the hotels advertising here advertised for $2 a day, $10 a week. But here is an ideal trip for a day's outing. Take the interurban car at 10 a.m. from Grand Rapids. Arrive at Fruitport at 12:10. Arrive at Fruitport at 10:21. So that's 21 minutes from Grand Rapids to Fruitport.
That wasn't
bad.
No.
And they traveled right along. Take the steamer Hazel. We always called it the Hazel B. For an hour's sail at the length of Spring Lake, 7 miles. Mm-hmm. Spring Lake is where nature smiles for 7 miles.
And does
That's Chuck Bogowski's theory, is where nature smiles for 7 miles and every friend's a neighbor. 7 miles, a most delightful sail. Dine at the Cutler House. Now, the Cutler House was the hotel down where, that was in this building. On the corner where our office is, that was the Cutler House.
That was a hotel.
That was a hotel, and that
had
was
a beautiful, spacious,
a beautiful, spacious hotel. Yeah,
they served good food then.
And they must have served good food. I never ate there. I was just a kid.
Yeah,
but
couldn't afford it, probably. Huh?
No, and had no occasion go in there. I had been in the lobby of the Cutler House as a kid peddling papers, mm-hmm. but I never had a meal there. But they say dine at the Cutler House or the Highland Park Hotel. And after a rest on the broad piazza, take a dip in Lake Michigan. Return on the 5:15 boat. We're going back to Fruitport now. Arrive at Fruitport at 6:30. Lunch at the pavilion. There was mm-hmm. quite a pavilion up there at Fruitport. And a good many people, in fact, I think most of the people around here will remember the Fruitport Pavilion, because it only burned down about 10 years ago. Dance or be entertained as long as you please. And interurbans leave hourly for Grand Rapids.
Well, they have a band there?
Yeah. They had a band. They had some of the most top bands in the country.
Did they?
In Fruitport, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You remember some of them? Because you were young.
Oh, yes. Well,
what were some of the bands?
Lawrence Welk was up at Fruitport.
Oh, was he really?
And
of course, he wasn't as famous.
Guy Lombardo was at Fruitport,
yes. They had some big names. Yeah.
And, you could name Ben Burney and, mm-hmm.
Ben Burney and all the lads.
Yeah. Wayne King. Yeah.
King. Say, they did all.
You bet your life.
Talk a little bit about that Fruitport Pavilion.
Well,
Let's go on with our trolley tour.
A beautiful, I think there's a picture in here of it. That was a beautiful pavilion. It was located down at the foot of the street there on the lake, and you could run your boat in under it.
Mm.
And then the dance floor was up. Well, it wasn't just exactly ground level. There were probably 8, 10, 12 steps. And from the lake, from this land side, and, of course, then there was a pier where you could walk out there, and it was quite a spot.
Yes,
the Interurban Railway built that there for their picnic grounds, and it belonged to them. And
Pavilion was there.
The pavilion was theirs. Mm-hmm. And they used to have... all the shop picnics and Sunday school picnics and everything else were at Fruitport.
Mm-hmm.
That was the mecca, the top spot in the world around here.
Sure, I guess so.
And there was a mineral springs there, similar to the one at the Cutler Annex across the street. Here's another one of their...
Let's stay with that tour just a minute, John.
Okay.
That was the final. You danced,
then you went back to Grand Rapids.
Now, how much did they charge for all that?
It doesn't say. No.
I wish it did.
But I did, too. I was hoping that
I wanted to take that tour.
Price. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, you
could take that from Grand Haven just as well as you could there from Grand Rapids. But, of course, if you came down from Grand Rapids, then you got to Fruitport and took the boat... And you had a boat ride out of it. From here, they used to go either on the Interurban or by boat. There was the Hazel B and the Helen B, two little boats, and the Fanny M. Rose.
What type of boats were they, John?
Well, here's a picture of it. We can't show that to the audience, but they were small boats.
Yeah, it's something like...
The Fanny M. Rose was a little smaller than the May Graham. Of course, you don't know what the May Graham was, but the May Graham was a sidewheeler that used to run up the river.
They look a little bit like these boats that help the big boats, don't they?
Yeah, like a tug.
The tug,
They're a little bit bigger than tug, but they had an open deck and a canopy and a top deck. Oh, I'd say 45, 50 footers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They were nice little boats. They were steam-propelled boats. Oh. They had no gasoline.
And that was just one of the tours.
That was one of the tours.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
Now, here's another one. This was Grand Rapids to Chicago.
Oh.
And now they're talking about leaving Grand Rapids again. Leave Grand Rapids at 7:40 on the Steamboat Limited. This was at night, in the evening, 7:40 p.m. The Steamboat Limited was we used to call it the boat car. That was the Interurban, and that had a big star on the front of it, electric lighted star, a good deal the same as they use for Christmas decoration. And that designated as the boat car. And then you got in here to Grand Haven before 9 o'clock, and you took the boat out of here for Chicago. And you leave Grand Haven by the good steamers at 9:15, arrive in Chicago at 6 a.m. in the morning. In time for the early connections. $2.
Sleep on the boat all night.
Yeah, sleep on the boat. And get in Chicago.
How much? $2?
$2. That was the fare.
Boy.
And you could spend a day or 2 days or 3 days in Chicago, and or as long as you wanted to, for that matter.
Oh, you didn't have to come back right away.
No, and then come back on the boat the next day. And they had several.
Now, that was at the turn of the century?
Yeah. Here's a picture of the Cutler House as it was at that time. So that was quite a building. You see, that takes care of all of this. All the rooms in this building were part of the Cutler House at that time.
Looks to me like the sidewalks weren't paved then either, were they? Looks like they were dirt roads.
They were dirt roads, I have a picture of the Cutler House, of the old Cutler House, down in the office, the one that burned down in 1889. And the crosswalk is a...
This is the new one here you're showing.
This is the new one. Mm-hmm. The crosswalk is a piece of... wood planks laid in the mud across the street. Of course, the streets were mostly sawdust, edgings and sawdust. This was quite a hotel, I'll tell you, in those days. Well, that's the way the Interurban started.
Well, they did a lot of promoting then, didn't they?
Oh yes,
to get people to ride the Interurban.
Yeah, they ran from 1902 till 1928, and then they went bankrupt.
Oh, they went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes. But they had
the automobile was the
automobile fixed Interurban that. Yeah, you could You had to wait for the interurban, and you could get on your car and go up there anytime. You get in your car anytime and be there in less than no time.
What's but that you're looking at
this
now?
This booklet, oh, this is the fairgrounds, West Michigan State Fair at Grand Rapids, which they used to have. Great races, daring acrobats, gorgeous flowers, luscious fruits, extraordinary vegetables, limitless industrial and mechanical displays, prize cattle, horse, sheep, hogs, and poultry. Grand Rapids Fair, that used to be the West Michigan Fair. That's that was quite a deal on the fairgrounds. I don't remember just exactly
where
that was.
They don't have a Grand Rapids Fair anymore.
No, no. But wasn't that a beautiful building?
Yes, it was. Well, that burned down, too, I suppose.
I imagine so. And also, the interurban had...
the Marin Fair.
Now,
what's the fair now?
They call that the Berlin Fair.
Oh,
see, they call it Berlin. Oh, I guess they call it Marin again. But they call it Berlin. Berlin. But they changed the name that to the Marin Fair. I always remembered it as the Berlin Fair.
Oh, I see.
That was quite a fair. And they still have there. You know? Well, that you could take quite a trip there for a couple of bucks.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Of course, what were the wages back then?
Well, my dad used to tell of when he was married, which was a good many years ago, shortly afterward, he paid $275 for his house.
Really?
And he was making $6 a week.
$6 a week.
$6 a week, not a day.
Yeah.
$6 a week. And he raised
a
family.
Yeah,
he raised a family of four boys.
To do that, then.
And paid for the house. I remember... house was little, of course, and they weren't modern. They built a kitchen on the house several years after. I remember when they built the kitchen. Of course, I don't remember when he bought the house, but I remember him telling about it. But the kitchen cost over $500 at that time. Now the cupboards in the kitchen cost from $25 to $7,500 at least.
Yeah, you're going to build a house now. Is that house still standing?
Yes.
Your dad?
Down on Fulton Street, 222 Fulton Street. Yeah.
What would that house be worth today?
Oh,
it's old,
eight,
isn't it?
$9,000-$10,000, yeah. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, it's been modernized since then. But, there's quite a change. Well, the first house I sold 53 years ago, be 54 years summer, August, I sold for $1,300. $1,300, yeah. The fellow had $100 down. His payments were $20 or $25.
This was in 54?
This was in 22.
Oh, in 22.
54 years ago.
Oh, 54 years ago.
Yeah, 22. And that house is still standing there. And he borrowed the $100 from his mother-in-law, but he bought a house. So that's the way things go. Yeah, there's been quite some change. Of course, if you consider the houses as they were in those days, and then the houses as they build them today, and what's in them, it's just a good deal like looking at those old Model T Fords, and then looking at a present day Ford. There just isn't any comparison in what you're getting. There's no comparison in the price, but there's no comparison in what you're getting either.
Well, now you mean that the cars today are built much better than...
Well, look at
what you've got.
Sure.
Yeah.
They used to have a four-cylinder car with a crank on the front of it.
Yeah.
And gradually they started with all the improvements.
The metal was thicker those days.
The metal was thicker,
Probably better built.
Yeah. Darrell Tammons got a 1916 Model T. When I started working for Oaks... That was my first car.
Was it?
Yeah. Model 6, that was 1916. It had one door on it and an oval window in the back.
Was that a two-seater? Seat
five people.
Five people.
Yeah, you
three in the
had
back
one
seat.
Door, and you got in it and slid in. The seats were bucket seats.
Oh.
Talk about modern. It was bucket seats, and they tilted. You could tilt back so that the person in the...
The whole seat.
Yes.
The
back of it.
Oh, just the back.
Yeah, so the person sitting next to the driver could face either forward or back. The driver's seat, of course, was stationary. But it was quite a car.
Yeah. But you wish you had it now, don't you?
Yeah, if I had it now, it'd be worth a couple of thousand dollars.
Yeah, I guess so, at least.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think it was just the automobile that brought an end to the interurban? Or was it, were there other things?
Oh, I think it was the automobile. Yeah. Automobiles and trucks, sure.
Yeah.
And then, well, just...
Just wasn't convenient enough for
people. No, consider the time element. You, as I say, you, well, people began getting automobiles. Of course,
well, but that was
you want to remember, when the first automobiles came out, there weren't roads like there are today either. I can remember driving to Grand Rapids when it took you 2.5 hours or something like that, and you were lucky if you didn't have a couple of flat tires.
That's what I was going to say. Actually, you said 21 minutes from Grand Rapids to Fruitport. That's pretty fast time.
That's pretty
fast. But the problem is that they didn't run that often, did they?
That's right.
Yeah.
And, well, they claim they ran every hour.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, so it wasn't so bad. I don't know. I just often wonder. You're talking about they're talking today about mass transit and all this stuff. I just wonder I just wonder if it would work. I doubt it. Unless gasoline got so expensive that you you couldn't afford to drive.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if it would work.
Well, I don't think it would work around here. Do you?
No,
but I think maybe
it would in
big towns,
cities.
Yeah.
Yes, because well, if you make up your mind you want to go to Grand Rapids, why? You jump in your car, and within 45 minutes, you're there. And then when you get there, you got some way to get to where you want to go. Then there,
this is the problem, isn't it?
You had to take a streetcar or
horse,
or walk,
horse and carriage, or walk, which wouldn't hurt us.
No,
but except that you go into Grand Rapids, that's quite an area to walk.
Right.
Now that's the problem.
Right.
Yeah, where towns were there a lot smaller, people could walk around.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, when my granddad had the livery barn, a grocery salesman used to, the grocery warehouse, or wholesalers were in Grand Rapids, and the salesman would come down from Grand Rapids and rent a horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would call on the grocers here and in Spring Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a day's...
He'd rent, but how did he get his stock down here?
Well, and then, of course, that was shipped down by Interurban, mostly by Interurban. Of course, later it got by truck. But and then it would be transported from the Interurban station to the grocery store by Venn's Trucking or Venn's Express Company, which was horse-drawn in those days, too. And,
but the wholesaler actually came right down here and called on the stores,
The salesman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the salesman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There were several of them. I was pretty well acquainted with quite a few of them because... Sometime they'd want somebody to drive them around, drive the horse for them. Everybody didn't like to drive a horse.
Well, didn't they? Well, I suppose that takes a knack. It took a knack, didn't it?
Sometimes people were a little bit famous.
Yes, yeah. Well, I've read where you should never trust a horse.
That's wrong.
Is it? You think it is?
Why, sure. Some of the horses were as trustworthy as people. But there were different kind of horses, too. The same as there are different kind of people.
Sure.
Yeah. No, my grandfather used to let us take any horse that he had in the barn. Make any difference what it was. And we were just kids. He died when I was 18 years old, so this all happened before that. And we never worried a bit about any horse that he ever had.
Mm-hmm.
To take him out and drive him, whether it was a new one that he knew nothing about, or a horse that he'd bought and owned for a while.
Well, that's a funny thing. Now these people were. I bought my daughter a horse. She lives in Grand Rapids now.
Yeah.
When she was younger, and the place where we bought the horse, this lady who raised horses and loved them, says you should never trust a horse. So I don't know.
Well, she was kind of skeptical. Yeah. I would say, well, you never walk into a horse without speaking to him or anything like that. You use common sense there, the same as you would with a person. You walk up behind a man and slap him on the back, you can scare the life out of him. Same thing with a horse. If you
there's something about their vision. They have a vision problem, don't they? You've got to come up to them.
You've got to come up to them, so that they can see you.
Mm-hmm.
Not just walk up and slap them, pat them, and
you could be
walk in and
kicked for quite a ways.
Yeah, speak to them first, and you never.
Yes.
We never had any trouble with them. No, we always.
Well,
trust
I was never afraid of. Of my daughter's horse. We just loved her. Her name was
Nia.
And
of course, when you have a horse like that, your own personal...
She was more or less a pet,
Pet. They make pets of them, but...
Yeah. Well, she was well-trained, too. She was professionally trained.
Well,
so,
that makes a lot of difference. The kind of horses he bought and sold were... Well, they were just...
But your dad said they never was worried about it, huh? Did any of you ever get hurt or anything around the horses? Or?
I got kicked once.
Did you?
My brother Bill got kicked once, not badly. They stepped on our feet once in a while.
Yeah, that hurts.
I got thrown off my horse. I often said I don't think the horse threw me. I think the horse got scared of something, and I wasn't alert enough, and I fell off. I think if that horse could have talked, he'd have said, I didn't mean to do that, because I don't think he was mean. But, no, we were always careful with them and cautious. Mm-hmm. But as far as not trusting them, I wouldn't say that. I would never say that about a horse.
Now, you weren't raised on a farm, though, were you?
No, I was raised right down here on Fulton Street.
Had your horses and
had
right
horse,
there at Fulton Street,
huh? And you couldn't do that today.
No.
We had 26 horses in the backyard right down on Fulton Street. You couldn't have, you can't have a horse in town now.
Yeah.
So,
what did you do with all the horse waste, though? How did they take care of
it? Farmers were tickled to death
really?
To get that for the celery ground. Yeah.
Oh.
He had a contract with two or three celery farmers.
They'd come right in and take
it? Come right in and get it, yeah. They couldn't get enough of it. That's a good fertilizer for the celery ground.
Yeah, you just don't... Well, there's a lot of places that just won't allow horses. I know where we live, when we moved, we were under the impression we could have a horse, you know, when we bought this place, and we found out we couldn't. There were horses right next door to us, and there were horses kitty-corner from us, but we couldn't have a horse because we were in a different subdivision.
In a different,
But it is a problem.
Yes, it is.
With the waste problem
Well, there's...
They have that taken care of.
That's right. Well, even that, the horse promotes flies and...
Yeah.
There's a certain smell.
Yes.
And noise. Horse, we used to have horses that would kick at night, kick in the barn, and make a racket. But even at that... I would still take a chance on trusting most of them.
Didn't they, going way back, speaking of interurban, it wasn't interurban, but trolleys, they were horse-drawn at one time, weren't they?
Yes. That was not, I don't ever remember
that
anything
was
around here.
In
that
the
was
east,
in
the
east, I think.
Yeah, big cities, New York, Chicago, probably.
Yeah. I don't ever remember anything like that around here. You know, talking about that, and you're getting into, we're getting a long ways away, but the... what's the trolley in San Francisco, the cable car?
Yeah.
They wanted to do away with them, and the public, the people just wouldn't stand for it. They said that was the only human or the only thing in San Francisco that reminded them of
I think they should keep
old
them.
Time. I think so, too. I think they're kind of a nostalgic thing
people
to have.
People are still using them, so why not keep them?
That's right. Well... I don't know. It said that
we pretty well there.
Doug, we have, well, there's a lot of other trips here in this little booklet here. There's one there that as I was telling you that the you could stay at this hotel for $2 a day. This hotel was up at the Willows. That's on the east shore of Spring Lake.
Mm.
Oh, this side of Fruitport, they're all homes up there now, and belonged to Ferris. I remember when they. Ferris people owned that piece of property. It's all been built up in very nice lake.
Was that hotel burned down or what?
Yeah, burned down. And you could stay there for $2 a day.
Mm.
There was another...
Pretty nice hotel?
Yes. Of course, they were a frame, and they were more or less of a family hotel.
Oh, yeah.
There was another one on the other side of the lakes up near Fruitport, up on the west Spring Lake... road, which was called the Pines, and the sidewalks were around the Pines are still on that grounds, and that was a summer hotel. It was run by a lady called Mrs. Berland. I remember very well. I worked in the bakery in those days.
Oh, did
so
you?
I got to delivering stuff to those places, and so we got into a good many of them, and that's how I can remember some of these things that we talk about. When I pick up a booklet like this and see some of these pictures, it brings back the memories, and I remember the buildings.
You probably got up pretty early, didn't you, to work in the bakery?
I got up in time to get down to the bakery and take care of the horses.
Oh.
They delivered with horses.
Oh, did
it was
they?
My job.
Did they deliver to the stores or deliver to
the stores? Well, they delivered
too,
to the houses,
too,
but mostly to the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was what we call the pie route. And that was about, start at 9:30, 10 o'clock, deliver the pies around to the stores. I had to take care of the horses and get the barn cleaned up and get the horses harnessed and get them out of the wagon and then deliver the...
You delivered, too, then?
Oh, yes.
Delivered the pies.
Yeah,
How were the pies delivered? Just in pie tins? Did they have them covered or anything?
They had them in pie tins, and they had a rack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you slid quite a few pies, maybe a dozen pies in this rack,
mm-hmm.
in a stack. And then you delivered them that way. There was no wrapping like there is today. And you had to be careful that the rack didn't tip over. You'd have a mess of pies. Of course, when you did that, we ate them.
Oh. So you maybe accidentally let them go over once in a while, huh?
Yeah. But when you got...
But they were good, though.
They were good.
Yeah.
They sold for around a quarter apiece, too.
Boy.
And so you can imagine what a difference there is.
Regular-sized pie.
Regular-sized pie with the pie crust made with lard, good old-fashioned pie crust, and all the fruit in them and the berries, or if they were a cream pie that was milk and cream and not...
all this artificial
not
stuff.
Powder
yeah.
stuff or
yeah.
anything like that. You know? It makes me think of the used to, those pies got old. If they didn't sell a pie in a day or so, a day-old pie was a bargain. They were just as good. You know, you'll have a pie at home,
sure.
and you'll only eat half of one day, unless you got a big family. And the next day, it's just as good as it was the day before. But they
right.
used to have day-old pies.
Boy.
And the kids that sold the Daily Tribune, the Tribune office was down in the next block. The Tribune office was down where William's... office supply store is, and the bakery was where Jilljoy is here, right in this block.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids used to come down to buy stale pies, they called them, and they got them for a dime.
Man.
And
real money.
They were just as good a pie as they were the day before.
Sure.
And then three, four kids would get together, and they'd buy a pie, and they devour that in less than no time.
What about the bread then? Was it
bread was
like more like homemade bread than it is now?
Good deal like homemade bread, and sold for a nickel and a dime a loaf. There used to be a fellow who used to come into the bakery, and he always said, "Bread is the staff of life. I want a 5-cent staff or a 10-cent staff." And we always ask for a 10-cent staff or a 5-cent staff. Yeah, it was good bread.
Yeah, and I love homemade bread.
Yeah, they shipped it all over Western Michigan.
Did they?
From that little bakery.
From that little bakery, yeah. They must have had quite a business.
Yeah, they sure did. They shipped it by Interurban.
Did they?
Yeah. And
we're getting right back to our
getting back
again,
to the Interurban. They shipped it as far as
Saranac. People thought maybe we hit straight so far away we weren't going to get back.
No,
we're back
right.
to the Interurban now, John.
Back to the Interurban.
We just have about 1 minute left, too.
Yeah.
So, do you have any parting thoughts on the Interurban before we leave it?
Well, they were fun to ride. And
pretty noisy, though, weren't they?
Not too bad.
Were they?
No, not too bad.
No?
They were all right. They were a little smelly.
Oh, why?
A little stuffy. Well, they used to call it the wheels would turn and spin, it would and they'd drop sand on the tracks to give them traction. That made a sort of an odor. Kind of a dry...
Yeah.
Smell.
Couldn't you open the windows in those?
Yeah. You could open the windows.
What do they do in the wintertime now? Do they run all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Year round?
Well,
they did.
Once in a while they get stuck between here and Muskegon or Grand Rapids, Fruitport. But they had a big snowplow that would come and pull them out, plow the tracks.
Well, now that snowplow, did they use horses then?
No, that was. But they'd get a good start and get going and buck into it. And I think they had a rotary, too.
John, we're out of time.
Well, okay. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Well, same here, John.
We sort of rambled today, but...
it was interesting.
As I said, I'm beginning to run out of things to talk about.
Oh, I don't think yet, John.
You don't think
so?
No,
I don't think so.
No?
My guest has been John Van Skelvin. I'm Jack Severson. Back to you, Bob.
Nice talking with you.
Listen again on the second Tuesday of next month for another chapter from Memories of the Past, a Van Zantwick Memorial Chapel presentation.